You're listening to the 1 Minute Theatre Reviews April podcast with me, Paul Seven Lewis. This month I'll be reviewing Carey Mulligan's solo performance in Girls and Boys at the Royal Court, Rory Kinnear and Anne-Marie Duff in Rufus Norris's Macbeth at the National Theatre, which received an onslaught of 2-star and even 1 1-star reviews, and A Streetcar Named Desire at the Nuffield Southampton. I'll also be giving you my pick of the show's opening in April. First, a couple of questions to test your theatrical knowledge. Carey Mulligan has been wowing audiences in Girls and Boys, but she's no stranger to the London stage. What was the name of the play in which she starred with Bill Nighy in 2014? And Marlon Brando starred in the original Broadway production of A Streetcar Named Desire. But who played Blanche DuBois? So, to the Royal Court Theatre in London to see Boys and Girls. The lights come up, and there on the stage is Carey Mulligan. Just Carey Mulligan. She's the only person we're going to meet for the next hour and a half, and she holds our attention for the whole time. It's a tour de force. I mean, yes, she's very engaging with her twinkling eyes and dimpled smile, but more than that, she has the skill of seeming to speak directly to you. Her pauses make you hang on her words. Her timing is stand-up comic standard. Now, delivery is one thing, but no matter how great an actor she is, she needs the words. And Dennis Kelly's play, looking back on the story of a relationship from its light-hearted beginning to its devastating end, is also a grand achievement. It's funny, insightful, and sharp as a 4K TV. The language is at times rich, almost Rabelaisian, and at others pared down to the bone. I'm guessing that the director Lindsay Turner made a major contribution to this triumphant production. It begins like stand-up comedy and ends like the bottom has fallen out of the world. I began roaring with laughter and ended in shock. Now, the answer to my earlier question is that Carey Mulligan starred with Bill Nighy in Skylight by David Hare in 2014 at Wyndham's Theatre in London. The production subsequently transferred to Broadway. You're listening to the 1 Minute Theatre Reviews podcast with me, Paul Seven Lewis. Macbeth at the National Theatre came in for a critical mauling. I counted at least 10 2-star reviews from the major critics and even a 1-star review. "Is this a dagger I see before me?" asked Macbeth. Well, he wasn't wrong. The daggers were out for this production. The Telegraph responded, "Is this a dud I see before me?" And the Daily Mail said, "Is this a shambles I see before me?" Others called it a misjudged mess, a real mess, a dismaying muddle, the worst Shakespeare production at the National Theatre for at least a decade, an unfortunate failure, and a stinker. So, what didn't they like? Well, two words crop up more than any others. Rufus Norris. He's the director of Macbeth, and he's also the National Theatre's artistic director. He must have felt like Macbeth did when Burnham Forrest came to Dunsinane. Quite a few of the Forrest of critics noted his lack of experience in directing Shakespeare. Well, given the hugely successful Shakespearean productions of his predecessor, Nicholas Heitner, now wowing them with Julius Caesar down the road at the Bridge Theatre, the phrase "hard act to follow" comes to mind. And the first problem was that he had, many felt, no understanding of the play. You see, Rufus Norris places his Macbeth in some kind of post-apocalyptic urban setting, which a lot of them didn't like. The stage complained, "Where are we exactly? What sort of society is this? And how did people end up here? It's never made clear. Conceptually, it's a dismaying muddle." Holly Williams in The Independent didn't hate it. "I've seen far worse than this," which is what is sometimes called damning with faint praise. So what else did Rufus Norris do to upset the critics? Well, if he didn't understand what Shakespeare was getting at, he also dissed the bard's poetry. "It's brutally truncated," said What's on Stage, and Variety referred to unnecessary, almost arbitrary textual cuts. Susanna Clapp in The Observer talked of a slashed text. And not only did Slasher Norris's production sound bad, they thought it looked bad. "Ray Smith's ugly-to-behold set is dominated by an oppressive backdrop of raven-black hangings," said The Telegraph. And that word "ugly" crops up a few times. "It was aggressively ugly," shuddered the stage, and What's on Stage found it ugly to look at. So, you've got this big dark set, and here's the next problem. It's in a big theatre. LondonTheatre.co.uk thought the scale of the production mitigates against the domestic intensity of much of the drama. Well, you might have thought the stars would redeem it. Rory Kinnear and Anne-Marie Duff are two of our finest actors, and even though most of the critics liked their acting, quite a few didn't like their interpretations, especially Rory Kinnear's Macbeth. Here's what they said about this poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage. "Rory Kinnear, one of our finest comic actors, never quite convinces as the driven, ambitious thane. He's too dithering, nervy and jumpy." That was the Sunday Times. And the Radio Times said, "We don't get the feeling here that his Macbeth is a great soul laid low by baser instincts, more an exasperated middle manager." The Spectator had a similar thought. "He'd be ideal casting as the tetchy manager of an Amazon warehouse." Not everybody was unhappy with Rory Kinnear. BroadwayWorld.com said he showed real existential angst and was as clear-spoken and intelligent with verse as always. So what about Anne-Marie Duff? Well, BroadwayWorld.com thought her Lady Macbeth feels half-formed, and Variety was even less impressed, as Lady Macbeth Duff all but goes missing. That said, many critics did like the acting of both Mr. and Mrs. Macbeth. Mark Shenton at LondonTheatre.co.uk said, "Neither of these fine, fierce and always ferociously intelligent actors disappoints." Well, there you have it. The critics were full of sound and fury, but signifying nothing. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow will tell whether sales or indeed Rufus Norris's reputation are badly affected. I can say that when I saw it, the audience reacted well. There was loud, enthusiastic applause and some cheering, so word of mouth may yet prevail. Did any critic give Macbeth at the National Theatre more than 2 stars? Yeah, quite a few gave it 3 stars. One lone voice even gave it 4 stars. That was a certain 1 Minute Theatre Reviews. What can I say? I liked the dystopian setting. I thought the poetry was beautifully spoken. I loved Rory Kinnear's portrayal of Macbeth as an ordinary man caught up in lawless times. I found it interesting to see the themes of Macbeth played out not in a war for a mighty kingdom, but in the kind of nasty modern war over a destroyed city, such as we've seen in Syria or Bosnia. I did think it would have been better in a more confined space, and it did lack tension at the end. You're listening to the 1 Minute Theatre Reviews podcast with me, Paul Seven Lewis. Tennessee Williams' 20th century classic, A Streetcar Named Desire, Nuffield, Southampton. Director Chelsea Walker is a rising star, so it was interesting to see what she did with one of the greatest plays of the last 100 years. Kelly Goff gives a visceral performance as the central character Blanche Dubois, who comes to stay with her physically abused sister Stella and macho brother-in-law Stanley, and whose superior behaviour and secret past create a charged atmosphere destined to explode. She didn't come across as old enough, and that does matter in the context of the play, but she is hyperactive, nervous, fragile. You feel at any moment she could break into 1,000 pieces, like the various objects during the production which do just that, a watermelon being one example. Chelsea Walker's added many more visual metaphors, including some nicely done dance sequences to underline what's happening in the characters' heads. One metaphor, at the end, by which the set becomes symbolic of Blanche's state of mind, works really well. And there's a realistic lovemaking scene in which Stanley pleasures Stella. This has the effect of heightening the strong sexual atmosphere, as well as showing explicitly what the text only suggests, that one reason why she stays with this bully is that he satisfies her physically. The production sizzles with ideas, but there were times when I felt this talented director was trying just a bit too hard. For example, she's given the play a contemporary setting. Now, it's true that the themes of being an outsider, domestic violence, masculinity and power, and much more, remain relevant to our times, but by moving it to our times, many anachronisms are created. For example, talk of sending a wire when one would send a text. And this wouldn't matter if the modern setting provided new insights, but I'm not convinced it did. And one thing missing was the oppressive atmosphere that I expect in A Streetcar Named Desire. Georgina Lowe's clever set, although appropriately restricted in its dimensions, has an open, frame-like structure, and the actors rarely behaved like they were weighed down by the heat and humidity of a New Orleans summer. I give A Streetcar Named Desire 3 stars. The production's touring to Keswick, Malvern, Bristol, Ipswich, Cambridge, Oxford and Mold, before returning to the Nuffield from the 5th to the 16th of June. Oh, in answer to my earlier question, it was Jessica Tandy who played Blanche in the original Broadway production. The part was taken in the film by Vivian Leigh, who had played Blanche in the original London production. You're listening to the 1 Minute Theatre Reviews podcast with me, Paul Seven Lewis. And before I go, here's my pick of shows opening in April. One of my favourite musicals, Chicago, is back in London at the Phoenix Theatre, and Hollywood star Cuba Gooding Jr. is in it. Strictly Ballroom, the musical, which I saw and enjoyed over a year ago in Leeds, gets a London run at the Piccadilly Theatre. It's a fairly simple story, but Drew McConey's direction and choreography make it a joyful evening. There's a new play by Thomas Eccleshare at the Royal Court, which follows a couple, played by Mark Bonner and Jane Horrocks, who decide to construct a self-assembly sun. A new production of Chess opens on the 28th of April at London Coliseum. The musical by Tim Rice and ABBA songwriters Benny Andersson and Bjorn Ulvaeus features the songs I Know Him So Well and One Night in Bangkok. The love story will star Michael Ball and Alexandra Burke. Absolute Hell, condemned as a libel on the British people when first performed in 1952, gets a welcome revival at the National Theatre's Littleton Theatre on the 18th of April. And Chichester Festival Theatre's 2018 season kicks off on the 20th of April with Noel Coward's Present Laughter, starring Rufus Hound as a famous actor in the middle of a midlife crisis. And finally, I'd love to see the stage version of The Damned United, which tells the story of what happened when manager Brian Clough took over Leeds United, a team he hated and which hated him. It's on for a week at West Yorkshire Playhouse from the 3rd of April before touring to community venues in the surrounding area. You've been listening to the 1 Minute Theatre Reviews podcast. You can subscribe to this monthly podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from my website, 1minutetheatrereviews.co.uk. And on the website, you can read all my reviews. If due to some masochistic urge you want to see me reviewing, head to YouTube and search 1 Minute Theatre Reviews. I'm Paul Seven Lewis. Thank you for listening.